Good morning. It's March 21st and this is your daily brief in Australian news. Here's everything you need to know. As the world turns its gaze towards Paris for the year 2024 Olympics, the basketball schedule has been unveiled and the football tournaments are setting the stage for intense competition. Let's dive into the details and implications of these announcements, particularly focusing on the challenges and opportunities for the teams involved. The French men's football team, under the guidance of Thierry Henry and with the potential star power of Kylian Mbappe, finds itself in a favourable position thanks to the recent group draw. Their chances of advancing look promising, marking a significant moment for French football. On the women's side, the draw has placed France against the reigning Olympic champions Canada in a lineup that promises tough matches ahead. The group that includes the USA, Germany and Australia is especially formidable, highlighting the competitive nature of women's football at the Olympics. Speaking of competition, the USA and Germany both boast impressive Olympic football pedigrees, setting a high bar for excellence. Australia's Matildas, who narrowly missed out on a medal in Tokyo, are back with aspirations of claiming their first Olympic medal. Their journey through a challenging group will be one of the tournament's key narratives. The men's tournament introduces a unique age restriction, only allowing players born after January 1, 2001, with the exception of 3 overage players per team. This rule could shape the dynamics of the competition, bringing fresh talent to the forefront. The women's tournament, starting on July 25th and culminating in the final on August 10th at the Parc des Princes in Paris, promises a spectacle of football excellence. The top 2 teams from each group will advance to the quarterfinals, adding another layer of strategy to the group stages. The absence of Brazil and Germany from the Olympics marks a significant shift in the football landscape, with Germany missing the event for the first time since 2012. This development could open the door for other nations to make their mark. With the tournament spread across 7 French cities, the global football community is set to witness a celebration of talent and teamwork. The Matildas, in particular, will be using their upcoming friendlies to finalise their squad, aiming to leave a lasting impression on the Olympic stage. In a twist that blends diplomacy with the unpredictable nature of politics, the appointment of Kevin Rudd as Australia's ambassador to the US has ignited controversy, especially following sharp criticism from former US President Donald Trump. This situation puts a spotlight on the complex dance between national interests and personal politics on the international stage. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's decision to appoint Kevin Rudd as the ambassador to the US was met with immediate attention, not just domestically, but also from figures like Donald Trump, who didn't shy away from expressing his disapproval on television. Trump went as far as threatening to remove Rudd from his post if he perceives him to continue being hostile, a statement that has stirred considerable debate. Despite this, the Australian government, represented by Foreign Minister Penny Wong, has firmly stood by Rudd. Wong has underscored Rudd's effectiveness in advancing Australia's interests in the United States, signalling strong support from the current administration. This sentiment is echoed by former Prime Ministers Malcolm Turnbull and Scott Morrison, both of whom have lauded Rudd's contributions as ambassador. The controversy arrives amidst the backdrop of the upcoming US presidential election, introducing an element of uncertainty regarding Australia's future security alliance and policy priorities, especially with the potential re-election of Trump. However, Australian officials remain confident in Rudd's capabilities, dismissing calls from conservative figures for his resignation. The narrative suggests a belief that, should Trump return to office, he would be willing to engage with Rudd in a transactional manner, ensuring that Rudd's tenure as ambassador remains secure. This episode reflects not just on the resilience of Australia's diplomatic positions, but also on the intricate relationship it maintains with its key ally, the United States, amidst changing political landscapes. In a significant diplomatic engagement, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi's visit to Australia on March the 20th, 2024, marks a turning point in the complex web of international relations. This visit, involving discussions with key Australian leaders, underscores the global effort towards mending strained ties and fostering international cooperation. Wang Yi's agenda in Australia was packed, featuring high-level talks with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and opposition leader Peter Dutton. The trio delved into critical issues aiming to stabilise the rocky relationship between the two nations, with a particular focus on trade tensions and regional security. This dialogue comes at a crucial time, highlighting the importance of diplomatic channels in resolving international disputes. A notable aspect of Wang Yi's visit was his clarification regarding the recent easing of trade restrictions. He emphatically denied any quid pro quo arrangement concerning the lifting of sanctions on Australian wine and the cessation of anti-dumping actions against Chinese wind turbines. This statement aims to dispel any notions of conditional agreements, emphasising the move towards a more open and fair trade relationship. The visit not only aims to smooth over past tensions, but also sets the stage for future diplomatic exchanges. With plans for Chinese Premier Li Qiang to visit Australia in mid-2024, there's a palpable sense of optimism about the potential for improved bilateral relations. This series of high-level visits signifies a concerted effort to bridge gaps and build a stronger foundation for cooperation. Amid these diplomatic efforts, protests outside the Chinese embassy in Canberra serve as a poignant reminder of the broader issues at play. Demonstrators urged the Australian government not to overlook China's human rights record, highlighting the delicate balance between diplomatic engagement and advocacy for fundamental rights. These protests underscore the complex interplay of international relations, where trade, security, and human rights intersect. In a tragic reminder of the risks posed by Australia's native wildlife, a 47-year-old man in North Queensland lost his life after being bitten by an eastern brown snake, a species known for its lethal venom. The incident unfolded as the man attempted to remove the snake from a kindergarten in Townsville, showcasing the unexpected dangers that can arise in everyday settings. The eastern brown snake, recognised as one of the deadliest snakes in the world, delivered multiple bites to the man. Instead of seeking immediate medical assistance, he chose to go home, where his wife administered first aid and subsequently called for help. Unfortunately, despite being rushed to the hospital in critical condition, the man succumbed to the effects of the snake venom. In the wake of this tragedy, local authorities have emphasised the importance of treating all snake encounters with extreme caution. They urge the public to consider every snake as potentially dangerous and to immediately contact emergency services if bitten. This incident serves as a stark reminder of the inherent dangers of Australia's diverse snake population and underscores the critical importance of prompt medical intervention following snake bites. In a turn of events that highlights the complexities of privatisation and its unintended consequences, the sale of New South Wales' state ports during Mike Baird's tenure as NSW Treasurer has unearthed a potential $4.3 billion compensation liability for taxpayers. This situation stems from a clause in the sale that effectively restricts the Port of Newcastle from expanding its container market, a move designed to protect the interests of Port Botany and Port Kembla. The heart of the issue lies in the conditions placed on the Port of Newcastle, which have limited its ability to diversify and grow its container market. This has led the Port of Newcastle's owners to seek compensation, arguing that these restrictions unfairly disadvantage them. In response, current Treasurer Daniel Mucki is taking steps towards transparency by proposing to table the contracts in Parliament, shedding light on the details of the deal. Deloitte Access Economics has entered the fray with an analysis that estimates the potential compensation payments to the owners of Port Botany and Port Kembla. This move comes alongside new legislation aimed at removing the Port of Newcastle's liability for developing a container terminal, marking a significant shift in government policy. As the matter progresses, an independent pricing tribunal is poised to determine the actual compensation payments. This development is part of an inquiry initiated by legislation from Greg Piper. Amidst this backdrop, the Coalition has made a commitment to cease further privatisation of state assets if they secure re-election in 2023, signalling a potential change in direction following the controversy surrounding the port sale. This has been your daily brief in Australian news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.